Madam Speaker, I rise in strong support of HR1, and I urge each and every one of our colleagues to support this bill. Madam Speaker, you have heard me say on occasion that the right to vote is precious, almost sacred. In a democratic society, it is the most powerful nonviolent instrument or tool that we have. In my heart of hearts, I believe we have a moral responsibility to restore access for all of our citizens who desire to participate in the democratic process. Many people marched, protested for the right to vote. Some gave a little blood, others gave their very lives. This weekend, many of our colleagues traveled with us to Alabama, to Birmingham, to Montgomery, and to Selma. They saw the signs in the museums that said white only, color only. They visited the First Baptist Church in downtown Montgomery, where we feared for our lives as the mob waited outside to attack and kill us. They stood on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, crossing the Alabama River, where we were beaten, trampled, tear gassed by attempting to march from Selma to Montgomery to dramatize the need for voting rights. Madam Speaker, you have heard me tell the story before, and you know our work is not finished. It makes me sad. It makes me feel like crying when people are denied the right to vote. We all know that this is not a Democratic or Republican issue. It is an American one. For the past few days, I listened to the debate on this bill. I spent some time having what I call an executive session with myself. The words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. came to mind. He would often say that the arc of the moral universe is so long, but it bends toward justice. The vote is an opportunity to be on the right side of history. It is a chance to cast a vote by the people, other people, and for the people. So I ask you, if not us, then who? If not now, then when? The time has arrived to tear down the barrier to the ballot box. Today, we are able to do our part in this long fight for the very soul of our nation. Let's save our nation and redeem
time has expired.
The soul of America. Thank you very much.
John Lewis, a hero, a human rights hero, an American hero. A speech is from March 8, 2019, when he rose in the well of the House of Representatives chamber to speak on behalf of House of Representatives Bill Number 1, which, when passed, and it was passed, set into course a fix of the Voting Rights Act that was undermined by the Supreme Court and a whole host of voter protections clauses, such as early voting in every state in the country, increased securities in our election functioning, as well, and also like no excuse absentee voting in every state in the country. Mitch McConnell refused to consider that bill. But when we win the Senate, as the Democrats, this bill will come back stronger than ever, and we will get it passed. John Lewis rose on March 8th because he had just returned from his trip to Selma and Birmingham and Montgomery, as he said. Every first weekend in March, Lewis would lead a group of folks from Congress and their loved ones to a trip to the South to see these historic places where people, as he said, fought and died for the right to vote. There is an organization in Montgomery, Alabama, the Southern Poverty Law Center, that is just around the block from where the Selma marchers ended in Montgomery in 1965. And they have a shirt that says, "The March Continues." The March Continues. That's where we are today. The March Continues, both figuratively and literally. Yesterday in Alamance, North Carolina, a group of marchers who were marching to the polls and had gone from the church that they met at to the county square or the city square, I'm not sure, the downtown in that little town, and had stopped there to strengthen each other and to have a moment of silence for George Floyd and all of the others who've been killed because of police violence, because of the race of their skin. They stood up and they were approached by the sheriff and the local authorities, and they were pepper sprayed. Those marchers were pepper sprayed and dispersed with violence. It is not 1965 when the Selma marchers were beaten badly, but it is 2020. We can see the arc from there to here, and the fight for voting rights remains as essential as ever. 2020, we're in the crucible right now. It's November 1st, and it is 2 days till the final day of voting, but this election is going to go for another 5 weeks or so because of the contest that will occur legally. But we're in the crucible. The protesters getting pepper sprayed in Texas 2 days ago. A Biden and Harris campaign bus being forced off the road by a so-called Trump train of pickup trucks flying Trump flags. We like to think that the past is past. It's over, but it's not. It's still here. This is the crucible, Steve. We're in the middle of the crucible, and it ain't fun. It's hard. But it is the crucible that others before us have come through, and we must come through it strong now.
Past isn't even the past. The past is present always.
John Lewis passed away in July. Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away in September. We lost these shining lights, these folks who showed the way forward. And we now have others who do that. Ayanna Pressley, Kamala Harris, Brian Stevenson, folks who shine the way forward for us. What we need to do is to march with them with resilience and as much determination as we can muster. I feel that every morning. I feel it every day. There are plenty of times when, in the relative privilege that I live within, that I'd like to not feel that. That I'd like to just have a less anxiety-filled, a less tense, a less painful day. But that's what we're called to if we're gonna really fight for a just and inclusive democracy. And I get the choice, of course, but were I to look differently, or be a different human being in terms of gender, sexuality, certainly race, that I wouldn't have a choice. It would just be. So that's what propels me to turn back in every time, knowing that I can't choose to walk away. We need to be in this together. The march must continue. And so we gotta be strong. And we got to be able to walk across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in all of our terror and anxiety and fear and anger and pride and hope. we got to be able to walk across that bridge. There is this moment. John Lewis was also super funny. He was a really, he was just beloved. He was such a caring, loving individual. At the end of Johnny Isaacson, who is the retiring Georgia senator that has led to there being a special Georgia Senate election this time. Johnny Isaacson gave his final speech in the Senate. He's from Georgia, as I said. And John Lewis came in to listen to him, even though he was in the House of Representatives. And when Isaacson was done, Isaacson is older white man. When Isaacson was done speaking, Lewis was across the chamber, and Isaacson very physically challenged at this point in his life, mobility difficult. Lewis said, "Brother, I'll come over to you." And he walked across the chamber and gave him a hug. His fellow Georgian, radically different life histories. But he was also, as I said, very funny. And he would do things that were just incredibly uplifting, because you had to be able to find humor in the middle of everything too. And so he would dress up at Comic-Con when he would go to this humongous comics conference. He would dress up and march around with young kids wearing the trench coat color that he wore when he went across that bridge in Selma. He would walk around with them to playfully inspire them. And when he went across that bridge in 1965 with Hosea Williams at the front of the march, and they came across the bridge and they looked over and down to the other side and they saw the Alabama State Police all blocking the road, all standing there with their sticks, and behind them were men on horses with their sticks. Lewis turned to Hosea Williams and said, at the top of that bridge, said, "Can you swim?" And Williams turned back and said, "No, I can't." And they kept walking. And that's the thing. We don't have time to swim right now. We don't have any other options. We got to fight for the right to vote with everything we have today, tomorrow, and for every year that we've got ahead of us. Steve, you've been on that bridge. You've walked over it a couple times. We've done it together. Yeah. What has always struck you at that moment?
Just the courage of those people. Just the sacred courage, really, because voting is a sacred right as well as a duty. So I'm always, both times we stood there, I felt the fear. I just could not, I mean, of course, you know, it was a fear. It was just by osmosis that there they were doing those things. And, you know, because I am a tall white man, right, in America, I also get an inkling of the hatred. And you just have to stop yourself and think about the hatred. You know, while you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, we can get mad at Trump for raising that ugly beast that dwells in America, right? But he's just the one raising it. He's just one more person who uses it to his advantage. But it's deep in this country. You know, those people that were on that Trump train, Trump wasn't with them. Trump's spirit was, but so was the spirit of all the people in the past who have put themselves in the way of a basic democratic right. So I guess I always thought that when we were there too, like, what possible emotion propels them? What fear and hatred propels you to stand there and not see your fellow human beings as part of the same world, part of the same process, part of your community?
I feel all of the anxiety and fear and anger that I could imagine right now. I feel it in this country. I see it in this country. I feel it personally. It's here. It's swirling. And it's mixed with determination, hope, pride to be part of something bigger than myself that is so morally right. This is a crucible. This is the crucible moment for those of us that are here at now. If we believe that democracy should be just and inclusive, then this is the defining moment of our lives. If not now, when? Lewis says, and he would often say that. If not who? If not us, then who? So it's a crucible. It is really, really hard for everyone. And we got to get through. We got to go through. I would often say to, and I still say to myself, say to others who I mentor, that when you are in the midst of grand difficulty, we want to pull out, we want to somehow back up and then like drive around it, the difficulty, and come out, quote unquote, the other side. But if you do that, you don't deal with it. You don't. So the only way through, I would say, is through. And that's where we are. The only way through is through. All of us together, further together. This is the crucible, folks. Dig deep. Love yourself. Let's be together. Let's go.